for you.
Singing it to him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your,
will you,
sanctuary before.
You can be seated for a moment. We're going to have a baby dedication first, so we'll get that out of the way and get on the end of the service. But we're glad to have our visitors with us. As we always say to you, when you come one time here, you're a visitor. You come two times, don't get expected to be welcomed because you're just one of us. We don't have anything to join or anything like that. We're just part of the body of Christ and just try to manifest that one to another. So you come back and be with us again, just make yourself to home because you're just part of us. Amen. So if you would, if Josh and Danielle would bring the little one up, and we'll get that, and we can get all of the family up here. So family, come on up. Just bring your family with you too, Danielle. And bring them all up because we want to get everybody together on this.
You know,
because it's a family affair, so we don't never, you know, do, we like to do everything as a family, as a group.
Amen.
So we just all do and everything and for the glory of the Lord. So just find a way to get around and stand and get up here, and we're glad to have everybody with us. We're glad to have little Deanna with us. And we pray that the Lord would bless her, and that's what we do. We don't believe in infant baptisms or anything like that. If anybody does, that's their point. But we don't do that here. But what we do is, like in Mark, you'll find where that they brought the children to Jesus, and he took them, held them up, and blessed them,
right.
You know, and then gave them back to the parents for them to raise.
Right.
So that's the main thing that we do here. That's why we want everybody to, you know, to you know, get up and stand around. Because, see, this is your job now.
Right.
This is your job, is to raise the child. You say, no, it's Josh and Daniel's. No, it's the whole family.
Right.
Everybody's responsible in raising a child. Everybody helps raise the child. Everybody helps do with it.
Right.
And how you live before the child is what you're doing. Because, see, when Jesus said when he got through with the children, he handed them back to the parents for them to raise. So the way you raise it is what you are yourself. So that's just why we do that part of it. We don't do any point of christening or anything. It's just a blessing to be placed upon the child, right? And let's just sing, bring them in as we have the little, go ahead, Brother. Come in, bring them in, bring the little ones to bring them in, bring them in.
Hey, Brian.
Bring the little one.
Hi there.
Look.
Amen.
Let's get you around this way. This is the way she likes to go anyway. This is the big T form of pacifying the child. That's Terrence. And he takes them all and does them like this, and they all are real happy with him because they're not looking at his ugly face. I mean, okay, let's just pray and dedicate the little one and bless her. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be able to hold a little one that you've given. You gave this one to Josh and Danielle, and we just thank you. We thank you for all of the families that would come today to be together here to see this little one to just be blessed. You said you took them up in your hands and you blessed them. And Lord, we thank you for that. An opportunity to just say that our hands are not worthy, but for you, Lord, we bless this little one and we ask you to take care of it. You've been so good to it. And now, Lord, now just completely come on the scene in the little one's life and lead her. And may we all, as one together as a family, may we live before her that she may see you and want to follow you. So we just commit her to you, Lord, little Deanna Faith, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You better go check her diaper because it's warm. You can be seated. They want some pictures made. Hold on just a minute. Okay.
Okay. Okay, now we do. Wait just a minute. Now. Hey.
Look over this way. No, not over that way. That way. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Bring the little ones to the Lord while they're little. And then raise them. The Bible says, you raise up a child in the way it shall go. It says when it's old. It doesn't say sometimes it won't depart, maybe during life and all because of things in life. But it says when they're old, they'll not depart. They'll come back to it. You just teach them the right things and do that. All right? Amen. So if you'd like to, let's stand together. If you'd like to, we'll read our scripture from Acts 2. Acts 2 and from Romans 8. All right. Now remember, the Lord willing, Wade will be speaking for us Wednesday. Remember also, the fellowship meeting will be in Alabama this coming Saturday. And if you want to go, make sure you let me know. We'll be leaving about 10:30 from my house. And just remember that. Also remember the 29th, the 30th, the 31st will be the services and the dedication of Brother Richards and our new church there in Tennessee. And we'll be there. Now there'll be someone here speaking for us. It'll be Brother Douglas that you've heard before. So they'll be here. But basically our entire family's going and a lot of the people will be going. So just if you want to go with Wade and them on Saturday, they will be bringing the vans. If you want to ride up with them, and be glad for you to do that. But make sure that you let them know that you're going to go with them, and then make sure you're on time to be able to go. And then you have to take care of your own motel there in Tennessee. So do all of those things. If you'll call Brother Richard and them, they'll be glad to tell you. Our Wade and them knows about the motels to get in things. All right, so we do it. And just remember that. All right. Acts 2 and Romans 8. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity this afternoon of gathering together. We thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the hour that we're living upon the earth. And we pray that you would just, Lord, bless each one of us with your presence. As we read your word, now you come and you speak to our hearts that we may, Lord, hear from you, because that's the purpose of gathering. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord. Bless us with your understanding and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 2, and then we'll go to Romans 8. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's go over to Romans, the 8th chapter, in just one verse, which is verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now I just chose a little thought, something we've been talking about on the mechanics and dynamics, if you want to say it that way, or to just put the title to it, the quickening power. And because I want to get a thought to you. You know, the disciples, they walked with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. And they were tutored by the Word. They heard the Word, as we call it, firsthand, you know, right from the Lord Jesus. And they, in hearing that Word, that was fine. But you know, in all that they heard, in all that they seen the dead raised, they seen the sick healed, they seen the mighty miracles, they seen even Jesus to walking on water, and even Peter experiencing walking up on water himself. And all of the things that happened, still out of all of that, for 3.5 years of hearing the Word, see, it did not, now understand what I'm saying, and especially the visitors, because the way I speak funny sometimes, I'm just country boy, you know. But you know, out of all of that, that didn't save a one of them. Just because that you hear the Word, and even though you say you believe the Word, that doesn't save you. It takes an inward experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come to quicken that. Because, see, they are in the Scriptures, as I said, they heard the Word and all that, but without God quickening them, that was the purpose of the fact of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had it only been to be an intellectual thought, or if salvation would come upon the basis of just you hearing something, or even saying, well, I believe that. If that was all it would take, then the Lord Jesus didn't have to die.
Right.
See, because he was able to plant the Word within the heart of those people, or the, you'd call it the mind, the brain. And it's in doing all of that, it still couldn't save them. Because you look at them, and you find Peter trying to cut off a man's ear because of what he was doing. See, showing that he still had the old nature that he was born with coming from the fall. And then you see him that, as this experience here of the Holy Ghost coming, we call the day of Pentecost. And as you see that transpiring, you find them, 120 of them, scared to death. Pulled up in an upper room, hiding. Not a group of people that were brave and going forth, but then immediately upon the coming of the Holy Spirit, you see them not staying upstairs as scared anymore. Something takes place. And see, Jesus told him, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my disciples, you know, to all the whole world.
Right?
And see, what the disciples needed was the new birth, in other words. That's why Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, he couldn't comprehend, even though he was the teacher, the Scripture says, of Israel, you know, very, very intelligent, but he couldn't comprehend when Jesus would say, you must be born again.
Right.
But see, on the day of Pentecost, that was the day the new birth came into existence that made them sons and daughters of a living God, transformed them from scared, you know, people, someone afraid, you know, like that, until immediately they just go right out. You know, they go outside and they start telling the people, and everything starts going on, and you see the people hearing them and all the things taking place.
Right.
See, because something had happened to them.
Right.
They had received an inward experience of what that, you know, that had been planted within them. Because that's what I believe the new birth is.
Right.
I believe the new birth is you first must hear the Word.
Right.
It's just like a natural seed or a natural child. The seed has to be planted.
Right.
So in the new birth, you know, you hear the Word. All right. And it says there in the Gospels, and one of them, that they took the Word and they held it. In other words, they cherished what the Lord Jesus said.
Right.
All right. And then when the day of Pentecost come, what did it quicken?
Right.
As we read there in Paul where it said it'll quicken your mortal body. What did it do? It quickened them so much until they were no longer scared. They were no longer concerned about what man thought about them and everything else. They were right out in the open and gladly to, even some later on, had to give their lives, basically all of them giving their lives for the gospel that they believed.
Right?
See, because it changed them from cowards to very victorious children of God.
Right?
See, that's because that's that quickening of that power. See? So what the disciples needed was the new birth.
Amen.
What they needed was the promise. See? All right. As we talk about it, you know, that maybe they were in the upper room sitting there, and maybe one of them said, you know, well, let's just take it by faith. And that's a good thought. But yet still, the promise from on high was not given.
Right.
See? And they knew that. They knew they were still afraid, even though they were saying, let's just take it by faith. They would have sneaked out of the building real quietly, probably, and never said a word to nobody. Because they were still scared. But upon the time of the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Ghost coming and sitting upon each one of them, or coming and really dwelling in each one of them, you know, and as it did, then that Holy Spirit made them not to be cowards anymore, but made them to be strong and ready to die and all and wanting to help others. Because that's one thing I've always told you, that eternal life is the one thing that you try to get rid of. Now, I don't mean that wrong. You try to give it away. You think about eternal life as something you say, well, I have eternal life and I cherish it. Wonderful. But if you really have eternal life, you want somebody else to have eternal life. You want them to have what you have. So you want to give it to them. You know, Paul was strong in saying, I would be a curse for my people. You know, I would just give my life. I'd be a curse, or even give the fact of eternal life up for my people. Why? Because it makes you like Jesus. See, Jesus gave His life that we and I might live. And see, that's all He wants you and I to do now, is to give our lives that He can live through us and manifest Himself, you know, and just come and live. Because that's the purpose of Christianity. See? Is to show, as we've been on, the token, you know, and we were talking about the token of where Moses was told, you know, take the blood and apply it to the doorpost. Well, see, they wasn't scared to do that. Those that did died. Those that wouldn't put it on the doorpost, they died. But see, Christianity's not given to you to go hide it in a closet and to talk about it on Sunday, you know, and then do what you want to the rest of the week. Christianity is a life. And see, you are the ones that the world are looking at. The world's looking at you, and that's the way they see God. All right. See, you say, well, they read the Bible. Well, you can read the Bible. You're not going to get it right away.
Right.
It's when you look out and you see it manifested before you in front of your eyes by a living group of people, then, as I said this morning, then you can really see the token on display. See, in our lives today, because that's what we need to do, because the token today is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was what all of that back there, the token of the rainbow, the token of circumcision, the token of the scarlet thread with Rahab to let down, and all of those things, or the blood being applied. All of that was speaking of a time to come when God would come and live in the hearts of man. David said it like this. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But he'd go right out and commit adultery. He was on his way home. Even Schofield writing said, he's on his way home from the bed of Bathsheba when he was crying out, Lord, deliver me from this thing that I am. Because there was no way to get the life back in, because in those days you made an animal sacrifice. Well, that covered and pushed all of those sins up to Calvary. But it couldn't eradicate. It could only be a protection. See, it couldn't do away. But the blood of Jesus Christ could do away, because, see, it was more than the blood.
Right.
Because, you know, we talk about the blood, all right? But, see, it's really the life that's in the blood.
Right.
I mean, if you could hold within your hands, place it upon your hands, rub it all over you of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you could do that, that still wouldn't save you.
Right.
That would be a worse condemnation, because you would have the possession, see, showing the life has gone out. Because that's what the blood over the doorpost was about, see. It showed the life went out of the animal for someone else, you know. Or the life had been given. But see, then that token there would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, what does he see today? Not us with blood. See? Not that you'd want, as I say, to hold a vial of blood, you know, and oh, you could say, look at the blood of Jesus. You know, if there was any human, I mean, any way to do that, we know it's not, but to illustrate. But what good would that do? I want the life that was in the blood. Honest, we were on the other day talking about it. See, an animal has a life. He has a life within his blood that makes him move and do. If he didn't, he wouldn't have it. All right? And see, in doing that then, but he doesn't have the soul. That's the difference in an animal and a human. He didn't have a soul, and there's no way that that life of that animal could come back upon that human being. But then when God Almighty himself came to earth to give his life, see, then he'd release that soul at Calvary. But it said there, you know, into thy hands I commend my spirit. See, that could come back upon you to give you a new birth. All right? To make you no longer what you are, but to be a child of God. See? To make you to be to the position that you have within you the very life that he had within him. See? That's why the animal wouldn't work, because it didn't have that life. But see, he was the very God Almighty himself. Because the Bible said, unto this day, born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Right? See, that was God Almighty in human flesh. And when he died at Calvary, that soul that was within him came out of that body, went and paid the price. The spirits that were in prison, as Peter speaks of, going to hell for you and I. Because we deserved to go there. We were on our way there. We needed to go there. And really, you know, justly to do, we deserve it. But he took my place. See, that's where that token I've been talking about. It shows a token, like you go down to the airport, you buy a ticket. The ticket you have is a token to you. Or a bus line, or anything like that. That ticket shows you the price has already been paid. Now, it doesn't show you got to pay the price. It shows the price is already paid. Well, see, when Jesus Christ died to release that life, now the price is paid. Right. We can accept him as our Savior. He can come and live in us. Not to just come beside of me. I'm honest. I know I speak funny, but I don't want the Lord walking beside of me. Because I'm in trouble. But if I can have him inside of me and let him live, I can be what Paul said. Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, what did he say? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Right. See, that's what I want. I want that. All right. Talking about the quickening power. As Romans said it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. Well, look what happened to those there in the book of Acts. They came down from there speaking tongues, as we call it. Languages is really the correct understanding. But see, they were speaking, and it says, how hear we every man in our own tongue? The secret wasn't speaking in tongues. That's what the church world uses it today. But that's not the secret. The secret was hearing. Because it said, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? I even heard a fellow one time trying to describe that, and he said what was happening, that Peter was speaking and all the others was translating it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, how hear we every man in our own tongue? The secret is hearing. It's always been in the hearing. The tongue is the fellow that gets you in trouble. Right? It's the one member of the body that can't be controlled, as you say. You know, that's what Paul had said about it. He said, we can put yokes upon an ox and make him plow. We can do the things and control him. But said the tongue is a wicked member. And it's bad. It's like Jack Cole told that time about it when that lady came up. And she said, Brother Jack said, then my tongue is so big of a problem. Said, I gossip a lot. And said, what I want to do, I just want to lay my tongue on the altar. And Jack Cole, you know, was well back in the old days of Pentecost, and he looked at her and he said, ma'am, is this pulpit's only 14 feet? There's not enough room for your tongue. So that's a good way of putting it, because it can't be controlled. That's why the tongue will get you in trouble. But the ear, faith cometh by what? The Bible says, hearing. And what? Hearing by the word. Alright. See, faith is what you want. Alright. The quickening power. It's fine to have the word, but you need the quickening power to quicken the word. Now, after you're born again, that's why Peter would get over and say, being, B-E-I-N-G, being born again by the incorruptible word of God. See, something's going on in our life every day. As you study the word, as I was trying to bring out this morning, that you study the word and that word is quickened. Now, not just because you read it, not because you memorize it. That's wonderful. I wish that my memory was that good to memorize every word in the Bible, but that wouldn't save me. See, what I want is for God to reveal to me what He's talking about. Then when He reveals it, I can walk in that and say, thank You, Lord, I have what I've asked for. The quickening power. Look at all of the things you could go through the Bible and how the power would come down and quicken. Like, you know, Elijah, all of those great men. The quickening power of God come upon them. Great things would take place by the Spirit of God. People would be translated. Enoch was not, because God took him. What? He was just taken out. What your Bible says. See? And all of that done by the power of the Holy Spirit. David said, I run through a troop and leaped over a wall. By the Spirit of God. Look at David, that the Spirit could come on him and kill a giant. Look at Samson, not a great big man. It wouldn't matter if he was a great big man. I mean, even if you made him, and I always pronounce it wrong, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, but ever how you say him, the big weightlifter, you know, big guy, you know. He couldn't pick up the gates of that city because they weighed like 40 tons. And he couldn't pick them up, but when the Spirit come on Samson, he just reached down, pick them up, and just walked up on the hill with them. I mean, he's going uphill. He wasn't going downhill or playing around, walk up on the hill. The Bible said, and just throw them down. Why? Because the quickening power of the Holy Spirit was upon the man. And then they had no fear when that came. And that's what we need, church. We need the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the word that we have. We claim an end time message. We talk about the end of the world. We talk about the end, as the Bible said, of all things has come upon us. But are we ready for those things by the revealed word, or just talking about it? Is it just something we talk about, something we read? Or is it a reality within your heart? Is it something that you can take within you and you can say, I know this is true. I know we're in the end time. Why? Not because of all of the things that's happening around the world, because there's always been bad things happening. Maybe not as bad as they are now, but there's always been bad things around the world happening and taking place. But see, to know and realize within your heart something, to feel something pulling, and knowing that this is about the finish of all things. And we're not doomsday people to try to pull and do all of the things like that. We're just telling the truth. Everybody wants to say, oh yes, the end of the world's going to come. And they're like me, they're 68 years old, and they'll say, oh yeah, the end of the world's going to come in about 40 years. Right? Because you see, they know they're not going to be living that long. Everybody wants to put it off somewhere else, longer on down the road. But you know, one day it's got to be a reality. If you think we can go much further with gasoline, the price it is, you're in bad shape anyway. You know. And our own government, as I said this morning, allowing those things to take place to actually bust us in the economy, when all they got to do is just tell them, we're not going to buy from you anymore. We're going to drill our own. But they won't do it. Why? Because there's too many millionaires, billionaires that are sitting up there getting big money out of all of this stuff. It's not the people over there that's selling the oil that's raising the price. It's the middleman that's getting it to you. Right? The broker, the middle guy, he's raising the prices. He's the one that holds it and releases it. You all work in something. I know these have been in the chicken businesses and everything else, and the kids was in it, and you just hold back you know, to a little bit, and it raises everything up. Then you sell real quick. See? But listen. See, I'm not worried about what's taking place in the world. I'm concerned about you and I. See? Because we talk about the Word. We talk about that we have the Word of the Lord. But is that Word made alive?
Yeah.
And we talk about it, the prophet did, like saying, like gasoline. Like you can have a car. You can take a big Cadillac, a big, you know, big high-priced car. It can be beautifully made, everything perfect. And the last thing, we used to work on them, see, we were retired from GM. The last thing they do is put the fuel in. You know, now they put a little touch up here and yonder, but I mean, basic finishing is when they put the fuel in the tank. And when they do, they crank the car up. And see, most of you think, boy, my car's never been nobody. It's brand new. Nobody's ever raced the motor. It's all just as sweet, you know. I was in inspection, all right? When you crank the car, it was cranked wide open. You pat the foot feet about 3 times, it's already primed as far as the fuel and the lines, and you pat the foot feet about 3 times, you hold it down. When you crank it, it is wide open. And it revs that way because they want it to blow if it's going to blow. And some did. But listen, what good is the car? What good is all of the beautiful seat covers and the tires and the hubcaps? What good is that beautiful car to you if it won't run? Right? And even though you have a tank full of gas, you put the gasoline in, you fill it up. What good is it without a spark? It can sit there from now on and bother nothing. I mean, a 10 million gallon tank can hold 10 million gallons of fuel. No danger to it. Unless you have a spark. And that's what the Holy Spirit done. Those in the upper room, see, were gathered there. They were packed full. They had dressed up their outside. They had quit this. They had quit that. They had lined up with what the Lord Jesus was saying. All right. And they were packed full of the Word. And it was down within them, you know, until they were walking Word. They could tell you every time Jesus said this and Jesus said that, and where he was at when this happened, and how they were on the mountain. But see, what I like about Peter, when Peter gets on over there in his writings after the Holy Ghost comes, what did he say? He said, I was on the mountain. You know, the Mount of Transfiguration. And seen these things take place. But he said, I have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure word, he said, than what was experienced back there in his life. Why? Because then he had the new birth. Then he had the life of Christ. Living within him to where Christ could manifest himself. That quickening power is what I'm talking about. Pray for that to be quickened unto us. We need to pray for a revelation more than anything. Because the revelation is the only thing that will change any of us. See, we're going to keep on going just like we're going if we don't start praying for God to reveal His Word. Pray for Him to fulfill His Word. And listen, is it hard to pray for God to do what He said He'd do? Remember the Lord Jesus, I said, pray that the Lord of the harvest. Now, He was the Lord of the harvest. Right? Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field. Now, He had them right there. He was going to do it. But see, a great thing is when you pray, and you pray until God comes on the scene to what you're praying about. And when you see Him move on the scene, and that delivering power come forth, then you come forth not as a bunch of cowards. See, that's what I want. I want the quickening power. I want the dynamics, as we would call it. The mechanics is wonderful. I believe in that. But I believe it like this. Now, here's the way I believe it. I believe you must have, as I said, the last thing they do, they don't put the fuel in the tank. And the body not on the frame. No, it's after everything is assembled, then the fuel is placed within the tank. Why? Because no need of it. But everything is made ready. See, this is my point. When everything is made ready, God will supply the dynamics. Sure, we know the dynamics will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Right? Why? Because in the book of Acts, they had many refillings. Go and read it. Where they would get together and the Holy Ghost would come down among them and just fill the room that they were in, and great things would take place. Many fillings of the Holy Ghost, but one new birth. All right, if you have the new birth, you know what I'm talking about. The Word is quickened. It's made alive to you, and that's what makes the birth. All right, and then in doing that, what we need now, see, each day, the bread we eat, you must eat naturally, right? If we don't eat naturally, then we can't live. Well, as Christians, we read God's Word, and we ask Him to quicken that Word. In other words, make that Word alive to you. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever had a revelation about anything, you know what I'm talking about. If you never had one, then you don't know, because that's just odd. But see, have you ever had God to come down and speak to you about something, and that settled it? He would tell you something was going to happen. He would tell you what was going to be or something. Tell you you're healed. Like Brother Tom sitting there, come over one day to work, and he said, I'm passing blood. He said, I've called the hospital, and I'm on my way over there to the hospital to, have them to check me out. He's passing blood through his kidneys, and we just all got up, prayed. He said, that settles it. It's finished. He goes over to the hospital. They keep him a week, and they can't find out anything's wrong with him. They didn't want to let him go home because they're afraid. They didn't know what had happened. They knew he'd come in passing blood. That's the way we was in Israel when we were over there. And this brother, Peter Nain, from down in Venezuela, they gave him 6 units of blood. And that's how low his blood had gotten down. They gave him 6 units. I gave one back to replace one over there. 6 units of blood they gave to the man. The same doctor that went in and found what was going on was the same doctor that run his instruments back and found nowhere there was any problem. He had a bleeding ulcer. And all at once, the ulcer was gone, the bleeding was gone, but they were afraid to let him get on the airplane to come back home with us because they didn't know what was going on. But see, we knew what was going on because we just stopped right in the middle of a whole line of traffic and just got right down in front of everybody and prayed, and God touched the man. See, that was the quickening power. That was what God done. He healed a man. 6 units. You know there's something wrong. They've got to give you that much blood. We have a nurse sitting back here. Can tell you in a hurry what that would do to you. But the man lived. Why? Because the quickening power was there to reveal to someone that he was going to make it. And see, that's what we need, is the quickening power. Pray for a revelation. I would to God I had revealed what's in my head by intellect. That's not revelation because you can read it. Because you can memorize it. That's not revelation. They told about those scribes and Pharisees, those men, that they studied those scrolls so much, the story is told they could take a pen and stick it through a scroll and tell you every letter that went through. But that didn't save one of them because they rejected the Lord Jesus when he came. What about you and me? The quickening power is what we need. The dynamics to the mechanics that we have. Pray that God will reveal that, because that's what picked Enoch up, as we were talking a moment ago, and he just walked right off. What was Enoch walking on? What was the Lord Jesus walking on? Now you got to admit he done it, or you're going to be an unbeliever. And Peter just simply said in our language, he said, put under my feet what's under your feet and I'll come out there. What did Jesus say? Come. Right? And he just walked right out. When he got scared, when he got to looking around and seeing everything. But you better remember one thing. They didn't have to swim back to the boat. Because the next count you see, he's in the boat. So the Lord Jesus must have picked him up because he had enough firm foundation under him until he could hold both of them. Not just walking with big webbed feet with his own self. He was walking in the revelation. All right. See, the quickening power. But the car must be built before the gas is any good. The message must be preached. That's all I've ever tried to tell anybody. For 40 years I've been doing this. The message has got to be preached of eternal life before eternal life can be made manifest. If we got it high preached, what good would it do for the Holy Ghost to fall? What if you had a Cadillac? You had one side of it completely done. Boy, beautiful. But the other side wasn't done. You go fill up the tank, where are you going? Right? Or you have it with all of the fenders shy and all of the things off of it. The bumpers and all of it, all out, the windshield is out. And you pour the gas in. Boy, look at this. That's the first time I saw my wife 50 years ago. She was sitting on a 50-something Ford, and there wasn't nothing but the front end of it on, and all of the whole back was missing, and there was a board laying across the frame, and she was sitting on that board at 14 years old driving the car down through town. You know. It's no joke. So the kids, they really used that. When it come along for them the time to drive, and she said, "You're not able to drive." I said, "Mama, how old was you when you were driving that car that Daddy saw you?" Said, "Yeah, but that don't count. I was more grown than you are." You know. But listen, what good would it do you to have a half completed automobile? And then the mechanics. You say, "We got the mechanics." No, you only got partial. Then the dynamics, what good would it do you to have a junk of stuff running down the highway? But you see, it's our job not to be. They could not. Now here's the point I want you to get. They could not make that Holy Ghost come. But they could be in the right place. Now what if they'd have said, you know, "We've been up here now for, you know, it's our 10 days," and they said, "We've been up here 8 days, let's go outside and sit around the building." You go down to the train or the bus or the airport, you know, and you go in and you're supposed to leave in a couple of hours, and you get your ticket and you go outside and you say, "Oh, we're going outside. We're going to go out in the park and play a little while." You're going to miss your plane. That's as simple and plain as can be, right? But you see, church, listen. The dynamics is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have if we don't have the mechanics sewn down into our heart, if we don't have the message preached in the correct form, I'm not expecting the dynamics of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I've never expected until we get the building complete. What good would it have done for Solomon and them? You think the Holy Ghost would have come in when they didn't have the temple completed? Everything wasn't in place? You know. The Holy Ghost wouldn't come. When everything was completed and in place, and then every person standing at their post of duty, in line, then the Holy Ghost fell. Because that's what to you and I. So what are we doing? We're trying to build a body of Christ. And you know what I'm talking about. If there's one member not in this body, the body's not complete. The dynamics is not going to fall as a quickening power to take us into rapture until the last member is in. Well, what if the last member is somewhere that somebody for you to talk to, or somebody for me to go see, or somebody overseas that you got to receive? That's got to take place. Whenever a member is in the body and in the position. So then our trouble must be that we're not in the position. get into the position, and then the Holy Spirit will fall. It'll fall upon us to quicken what we have. Then you'll see just a short, powerful demonstration for just a little bit. How long is a little bit? Who worries about it? I want to see that fall come, yes. But if we're not in place, it won't do us any good. God cannot quicken partial word. Now listen for a moment. If it's true and we believe it, that one word brought us out of the garden. One word brought us out of the garden. Well then, if there's one word not in this body complete yet, it's not going to take place. We can do all we want to, but it's not going to take place. But there's one thing about it, we can search for that life one. We can search for that word. We can wait on God to be able to come down and quicken Himself unto us and fill that. Because even if you bring the people into the body, they got to be at a position. Sure, they can depend on us that's been in it for a long time. That's fine. But still, they got a position they got to reach. That's all I've ever tried to tell you, see. You can't make it work. You can't make the dynamics work. The dynamics is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. He makes that work. But He makes it work when the body is in position. And what if there's one member of the body in this little church in Lula that's not in the right place? All right. See, that's why God doesn't work. Now listen, don't get me wrong, because we see God work among us. We see healings and signs and wonders that takes place. But I want to see more. I want to see God live in a group of people. But I can't make that take place. The prophet couldn't make it take place. But see, when everything is in perfect order, then the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Right. When they were all in one place, in one accord, the Bible says, then the Holy Ghost fell. Right. But it only fell then when the day of Pentecost came. Right? And see, that's what it's got to be with you and me. The quickening power. We need the word quicken unto us. Right, we need that. But we can't make that take place. But listen, now here's the point. We can hinder that. By not believing that God is with us, working among us, we can hinder the work of God. So let's just get everything in order. You know what? I've taught you about it. Even the headstone must come, according to Zechariah. And I believe the headstone is the opening of the Word, don't you? Amen. I believe it's those seals that the prophet brought. I believe that. But without the Holy Ghost to quicken that, what good is that? That's just like the water. No difference in water. You throw a match in water, it won't do any good. But you put it in the gasoline, and it'll take place. But see, now, have you ever thought about what you could do with water? You know that water is H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. The two greatest explosive things that could be thought of. Because that's what I'm talking about when the dynamics is going to strike the church. Right. It's not going to be a day of Pentecost, you know. It's not going to be a book of Acts of coming of the Holy Ghost. Right. It's going to be a dynamics quickening of the greatest magnitude that has ever been seen in the world. Right. See, that's why they're afraid to set off atom bombs and things like that. And they had a hydrogen ever since I was in school. They had a hydrogen bomb. And they were afraid to shoot it. Because they were afraid it would start a chain reaction and burn the whole world. Why? Because the world is what? Two-thirds water? Remember, all the water that came down in the days of the flood is still here. It hadn't gone anywhere. I don't think any of them aliens that claimed that yonder's come down here and got it in spaceships and hauled it off. But listen, what if you got a chain reaction started in the wrong way? Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. That's what they're afraid of. They were afraid, and actually Einstein, if you know the whole story, Einstein didn't split the atom perfectly in the middle. Had he split it in the middle, they said it would probably blow the whole world to pieces. Now don't ask me to explain that. I don't know. I just know what I read. They said he didn't split it correctly. But he split it enough to use it. To take what's in my hand and blow up cities with. You know. And all like that. But listen, church, are you thinking what I'm saying? The dynamics to the mechanics. I got a lot of things written off in there where that Brother Branham showed how the dynamics was to Luther. I told you that. Dynamics was to Luther as well as it is today. Just like I said this morning, the token was on display in every church age because it was the evening time. So it was the evening time of every message when the token came. And so is it with the dynamics. Everyone that's ever received the Holy Ghost, it was the dynamics that quickened. If you're ever healed, God reveals to you you're healed. That's the dynamics has quickened the mechanics. But then let's don't doubt what's here. But let's just want more. Right? Just want more of what's here. Want God to move among us until He can come so much among us He'll raise the dead and we'll go into rapture. God, remember, it's Him coming among us. It's not how much we learn or how much we can preach or what we can do. It's what He's revealed to us brings His presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit is what we need. And I think about what Brother Brown said, that God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. But like I said this morning, how is it with a lot of people? They seem like they want to stay sick. Or just sick enough where they can be petted. You know. And then turn around and use that, you know. Oh, I'm sick. I do that, but I'm sick. Now you let something come along they really want to do. My brother used to come here, used to weld. He said, I can sit in 5 hours in one place and weld. Hardly not even move. He said, I love to do it. But he couldn't sit in a pew for an hour. He's the one reason we started the Sunday school. We started the Sunday school because the brother wanted a Sunday school for his children. Well, you know what he told me right after we started the Sunday school? Most of you know what he told me. We're taking up too much time. I can't sit and do this thing. But he just told me he could weld for 5 hours sitting in one place. If you want to do it, you can do it. You want to do it, you can do it. But you limit your own self. But do you see what I'm talking about? We believe what the prophet said. But has that word been made alive? But to most of the people of this message, it's never made alive enough to know that one word don't contradict the other. Right? How come there's 10,000, there used to be 969 different denominations, there's probably 10,000 different groups in the message now, all after one message? I don't understand that. Well, it's just you because you're stubborn. Well, come on. Bring me the Word. Come on, show me in the Word. Show me in the prophet's message. But don't come around with some little silly quote. I don't mean silly quote that God's Word is silly. I'm talking about something you self-interpreted it to be. I remember a brother one time, he said, we was in a meeting or something come up, and he said, Paul was married. I said, he wouldn't have done it. Yeah, Paul is married. Said he is a member of the Sanhedrin. Said you had to be married to be on the Sanhedrin. I said, first off, Sanhedrin was wrong, messed up. Second off, you don't have no right to say that because Brother Branham said Paul was not married. And that's the third off. If you're going to make it that Paul was married, then I'm going to have to kill my wife. Because you'd have to admit something happened to Paul's wife because he said, I wish you were like me. It just got plumb silly. Why? Because people think, so then I searched a long time. I found where Paul, I was just reading it the other day, I'd be glad to find it, where Paul said, I got a right to get married, but said, I won't. It took me a long time to find that quote. I knew Brother Brown said it. But you see, I'm just a smart aleck because that I found those things. And I guess I'm a smart aleck for believing one thing. I believe when we plant the word in the correct way that it's supposed to be, when the word is sown down the way it's supposed to be sown, the Holy Spirit will come to that. He told me a long time ago, he said, you preach the word, I'll back it up. So I ain't got one thing in mind, just that one, preaching the truth. And line it up with the word, and then just leave the rest to God. But you say, well, Brother Dale, we ought to be able to do that. Jesus said, I do nothing. Let's look at that scripture a moment ago. And Jesus said, I do nothing until my Father shows me. Brother Brown said, he never done a thing till he saw a vision. Now, that's your prophet saying it. He said, I do nothing until the Father shows me. That's our trouble, trying to do things without the Holy Spirit leading. That's what gets us in trouble. Is trying to do it without the Holy Spirit being the leader. But do you understand what I'm saying? The dynamics. I didn't change this sermon around because we had visitors all day. I was thinking on this thought. I just changed the way I approached it. That's easy to do. Just change it and approach it. It don't offend anybody. Well, everybody's gone now, so we just old home folks. And that's not nothing against them because they have their churches and they're going to their ways. And I'm not saying anything against them because that's up to them. That's their church they're going to this evening. You know. But listen, we believe the dynamics is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. But that refilling cannot come until every member of the body is in place. Not just as every member is in the body. That's where people, they want to go overseas. And that's what I told the brother, you know. They go overseas and they present the message and they present the message. And they even call back from one place or sent word back from one place over there and said, you've taught us that Brother Ram was a prophet. I said, now come and tell us what he taught. I said, brother, when you're having the meetings and the things like that, don't go back the next year and put everybody in the same room. They done heard the presentation you produced this year. Put them in another room and put somebody over them to teach them the deeper things of the message. But until this day, I have not known of that happening. See, because they don't see that. A lot of people think it's only to get Brother Branham, you know, to get you to believe Brother Branham is a prophet. I believe that. There was a time you and I didn't believe that. And that was a wonderful time when we saw it, wasn't it? That God had sent us a prophet. But now that's a long time ago. We're in the time when the body ought to be complete, just about it. Or maybe he is. And maybe you and I and Lula are missing it because maybe we're not in the body. But that's for us to find out. But what about the Word? Is it so horrible that you become a know-it-all because you preached God's Word and because you challenge people to come and show me where I'm off and they don't come? Is that horrible? If it is, I'm sorry. But wouldn't it be something for me to get Brother Dick up here in time? You know, I play a guitar and I don't never miss a note. You know, I can play the piano. It's beautiful. Beethoven don't even have a chance with me. Right? But it's all in my mind. I just can't get it to my fingers. Right? But wouldn't it be something to tell Brother Dick, now that's not the way you do. You turn it over the other way. You play it like Brother Bartley plays. He plays left-handed. He plays upside down. You know. And I look at him and I laugh because he's just over there just flying away and he's playing upside down. You know, he done it here playing, do it on a bass guitar, or he can do it regular guitar, anything. Well, see, wouldn't it be something to tell him, now that's the wrong way now, brother. You need to turn that guitar over. It's made to go the other way. He said, but I got it working this way. I found out how to do it better than the guy that plays it the other way. Because I can transfer it over and play up the other way. But wouldn't it be something to tell Brother Dick now, Brother Dick now, after all these years playing, I'll show you how to play the guitar. Boy, that'd be something. Now, I mean, he would just look at me, and if he loved me enough, he'd laugh at me. If he didn't, he'd just tell me I was crazy. Well, that's the way it is in the message, folks. Oh, Brother Brown's a prophet. We're going to rapture. This doctrine will produce the rapture. That doctrine, that's what it's all been about. They've tried with all kind of doctrines to produce a rapture. But the rapture is when the word is planted, the seed is planted in its entirety, and the body is complete. Then the dynamics that we're looking for can come. But until that day, we look for it to come every moment, every day. Why? Through healings and things that are taking place. Just don't deny what God is doing. Right. Yeah, but look at him. He's doing more over here, seemingly. Well, just go over there then. Because if that's the kind of spirit you've got, that's where you need to be. Right. But you know they won't receive the word. Right. And let me quote Brother Branham. Any spirit that will not agree with the word is not the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what he said. Of course, I'm a smart aleck because I found that one day. But when Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. Are you a smart aleck for quoting that to somebody? When you see them off the word. But see, the refilling of the Holy Ghost, unless there's something there, the spark is no good. Now, I'm quoting Brother Branham. I'll be glad to show you this way. Because he says, without the dynamics, the mechanics is no good. Right. Now, turn it back around. He said, without the mechanics, the dynamics is no good because it has nothing to fall on.
Right. Amen.
Now, see? It's easy to quote one way. But can you say that your mechanics is no good if the word's not lined up? I mean, the dynamics is no good if the word's not lined up correctly. It'll just produce a sputter. But you see, church, we're in the hour when the dynamics and the mechanics have to come together. When the former and latter rain can fall together. Brother Brown says, come right together. See, former rain generally comes, what, spring and on up, and then latter rains in the fall. Something that we do in our planting here. But see, he said, what about when it'll come together? When it comes together. What? Preaching it, quickening it. Preaching it, quickening it. I like to preach when you get quiet. Because there's one thing about it, one or two things, you're either asleep or you're thinking. And that's what I like for you to do. Think about it. Think on these things. Come on, Brother Dick. We're just in it. So that was the point I wanted to get. I wanted to talk about dynamics and mechanics. So I just, last night, I knew that I didn't know everything. I knew the company was supposed to be coming. And I kept trying to get the things together on the topics of what I was going to speak on. And it just didn't work. So when I do that, if you've seen my notes, I went up so far and just stopped and laid it down, come on to church and just wait. Because I know something's going to happen. You know, somebody's going to be here and things, and then you just change around just a little. You can still get your same thought across. But you just have to approach it just a little bit different. To where you're not offensive. Because we don't want to be offensive to anyone. As I said, everybody has a right to their own belief. That's the Constitution of the United States. Maybe not the Bible, but the Constitution. But see, the mechanics to the dynamics is no good unless the mechanics is sewn correctly. The dynamics can't make it work. But the mechanics can be perfectly in order without the dynamics, and it won't work. So pray for the dynamic, quickening power. It'll quicken your mortal body, Paul said. It's going to quicken us in a rapture one day. Let's stand. 120. If anybody has a need. Either calling thee, heavy laden, come to me and rest. Tarry, every burden, bring me every care. Come, the quickening power. You can hold that corn in your hand, and it can rain all it wants to, but it won't do any good. Put it in the ground. Sow the seed. Then when the rain comes, it can make alive. That's all I'm trying to do, is sow the seed of God's Word. We're just climbing higher and higher until it comes to a place that we can all see. Load it down. Holy feelings, troubled in you. To Jesus, He will. Anybody have a need? Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. Hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come, trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Stumbling on the mountain, dark with sin and shame, struggling. Waiting on God. Bird, come to me and pray. Oh, come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. Hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come, crush my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. As we sing the lights, have you by temptation offered comfort to me? Has the strength. Just don't worry about it. Just let Him come on the scene. Things start going wrong. Look to Him. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, right? For I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. My yoke is easy, and my burden lies. See, just get the seed in the field. Plant the seed. You can pour water on, but it won't do much good. Because see, all the way down underneath where you're pouring the water is drying up. But if you let Him rain it down from glory, it'll come up from underneath. It'll grow. And not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait upon the Lord. What will it do? They shall mount up with me as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. What are you waiting on? In your good time, you'll answer. But if I'm not down on my knees, He don't have to answer. For an answer from you, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Father, we thank You for an opportunity of being here this afternoon. And we pray what we said has been worthy to be said. And we believe it. We ask now that You would just dismiss us. Go with us to our homes. Take care of everybody on the way, Lord. Give everybody a safe journey. And then may You gather us all together in Your love. Because we're looking for a time for You to move among us. But we know that You're here. You're not coming, You're already here. You're not going to have to descend, You've already descended, because You descended in the shout that the prophet was bringing the message. And we believe You, Father. We ask You now to just help us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.